First of Chronicles 21. Satan, now Satan means the adversary, Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. In the parallel record in Samuel, it says that God provoked David to number Israel. Here it says Satan provoked David. Now, what that means then is that God can act as a Satan, as an adversary. Just shows that this word Satan does not of itself mean anything bad, because God is not bad. God is absolutely good. But he does bring evil or disaster into our lives. As it says in Isaiah, I make peace, I create evil, I form the light, I create the darkness. And you see, though, that the word Satan just means an adversary. And you can be an adversary to somebody in a good sense. It's rather like Peter was an adversary to Jesus. When Jesus was going to die on the cross, Peter says, don't do that, Lord. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. It says he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. So the word Satan just means an adversary. And that really is how it might have been translated. So God was working through some kind of an adversary that made David want to take a census of Israel. That's to count how many people there were. David said to Joab, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring me word so that I may know the sum of them. Joab said, may Yahweh make his people 100 times as many as they are. But, my lord the king, aren't they all my lord's servants? Why does my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of guilt for Israel? Well, a king could take a census, that is, count up how many fighting men he had. Although, really, David would have been better to have learnt all the lessons God had tried to teach him and to trust in God instead of counting up how much I've got. And it's a bit the same with us and money. You keep on counting your pennies, counting your money. Look, trust in God in the end. And so a king could, but the people had to pay a temple tax. They had to pay a tax when there was a numbering of the people. And if they didn't, they would get struck with a plague. And so Joab is saying, no, David, don't do this. Don't be a cause of guilt for Israel, because he knew the people probably wouldn't pay the tax. Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. This is, you see, David in weakness here. He's wanting by all means to find out what his human strength is. When he's earlier in his life been given huge victories, where he's won against much, much larger armies. Therefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Joab gave the sum of the numbering of the people to David, and all those of Israel were 1,100,000 men, who drew sword, and in Judah were 470,000 men. But he didn't count Levi and Benjamin among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. God was displeased, therefore he struck Israel. In other words, they didn't all pay their temple tax, and so God did what he said he'd do if they didn't pay their contribution to the temple that they were supposed to make at the time they were numbered. He struck them with plague. David said to God, I have sinned greatly in that I have done this thing. But now put away, I beg you, the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. So David does realize that his sin has led to the suffering of many others. And that's the problem with sin. It's one aspect of sin that we make other people suffer because of our folly. Yahweh spoke to Gad, David's prophet, saying, go and speak to David, saying, thus says Yahweh, I offer you 3 things. Choose one of them, that I may do it to you. So Gad came to David and said to him, thus says Yahweh, take your choice, either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be consumed before your enemies, while the sword of your enemies overtakes you, or else 3 days suffering the sword of Yahweh, even plague in the land, and the angel of Yahweh destroying throughout all the borders of Israel. Now therefore consider what answer I shall return to him who sent me. David said to Gad, I am in distress. Let me fall, I pray, into the hand of Yahweh, for his mercies are very great, but let me not fall into the hand of man. So David says there's something very deep, that God is more merciful than man. God is more patient than man. And God is more forgiving and gentle than man. We might generally think the other way round, that if I've sinned or somebody has sinned, man is going to punish less than God. But actually the other way round. God is actually more gentle than men. And that's really wonderful. It really is that God is like that. So, Yahweh sent a plague on Israel and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And I think the fact that he sends a plague on the people and not against David personally, I think is proof enough that this really was the sin of the people. Although David was unwise, the people were sinning because they hadn't paid the temple tax, and God had said, if you don't pay the temple tax, there will be a plague. And that is, I think, what happened.
What if you can't afford it?
Well, I think they were supposed to do as they did with the Passover, that if, for example, a family couldn't afford a lamb, they were supposed to club together and identify themselves with, like, families together, so that they could pay it somehow between the families. God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. As he was about to destroy, Yahweh saw, and he relented of the disaster. So you see, God does change. And said to the destroying angel, it is enough, now stay your hand. The angel of Yahweh was standing by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. David lifted up his eyes. This is now explaining how it came that that angel came to stop. And the angel was, as it were, standing over Jerusalem with a sword about to destroy them all, or lots of them, and then David stops the angel. Now we're going to read about how that happened. David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of Yahweh standing between earth and sky, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces. David said to God, isn't it I who commanded the people to be numbered? It is even I who have sinned and done very wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand, O Yahweh my God, be against me and against my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued. Well, I guess God saw it differently. God saw that, no, actually the people did deserve to be punished because they hadn't paid the temple tax. And so David here is sort of feeling a bit guilty, I think, where he didn't quite need to feel guilty. He had been unwise, but I wouldn't say this was a sin. And later on, God says about David, he walked before me with a good heart, and he didn't sin apart from in the matter of Bathsheba and the matter of Uriah. That's when he took Uriah's wife and killed Uriah. So I would say then that really we can at times feel very guilty when we don't need to feel guilty. But by the same token, there are times when we ought to feel guilty when we don't. We mustn't allow people to make us feel guilty, put false guilt on us. And yet, on the other hand, we must not forget that we are actual sinners and we sin, and we should feel guilty before God for what we actually do wrong. So, the angel of Yahweh commanded Gad to tell David that David should go up and make an altar to Yahweh in the threshing floor of Ornan. David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of Yahweh. Ornan saw the angel, and his four sons who were with him hid themselves. Ornan was threshing wheat. As David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David, and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, give me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build thereon an altar to Yahweh. You shall sell it to me for the full price, that the plague may be stopped from afflicting the people. Ornan said to David, take it for yourself, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Behold, I give the oxen for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments you can use for wood, and here's the wheat for the meal offering. I give it all. King David said to Ornan, no, but I will most certainly buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is yours for Yahweh, nor offer a burnt offering without cost. That's a great principle. that sacrifice means that you are actually minus, that I had something and now I don't have it. I saved that money and I gave it away. I now don't have it. Rather than trying to find some way of avoiding these things, etc., and somehow appearing to offer to God when it's cost you nothing. It would be the same here. God told David to go and make an offering. And Ornan says to David, oh, sure, you know, here, I'll donate to you the animals and everything. Just take it for free. And David says, no, I will not offer that which cost me nothing. So David gave to Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the place. David built an altar to Yahweh there and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called on Yahweh. And he answered him from the sky by fire on the altar of burnt offering. Yahweh commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into its sheath. At that time, when David saw that Yahweh had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. For the tabernacle of Yahweh, which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of burnt offering, were at that time in the high place at Gibeon. But David couldn't go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of Yahweh. So, you see, David was not totally perfect with God. He misjudged, I think, this whole thing about feeling guilty about this matter, and he was unwise. He should have trusted in God and not wanted to know how many men he had to fight for him, but to trust in God's cherubim, in the hosts of angels and chariots of God's power. Remember in Hezekiah's time, just one angel went out and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Just one angel. And so, you know, David is weak. But you see how weakness leads to weakness. There's no other way than a complete heart and soul dedication to God in faith.